This is Columbus Community Hospital HealthCasts. I'm Bill Klaproth. In this episode, we talk with Chris Holt, director of the Columbus Sports Performance Center, as we talk about sport performance, what it really means beyond just working out, how to train safely at any age, and how to help athletes perform at their best without burning out. Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Bill. We're excited to be a part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to talk with you. So let's start with this. So how do you explain strength and conditioning to parents and athletes who just think of it as working out or getting in shape?
What we could start with is kind of who is leading that training? Like who's the strength and conditioning coach? What does that mean? And how do we compare that to other similar positions like you hear about, you know, your sports coach, your personal trainers, things like that? So it first comes with, you know, a person of my credentials and education. So when you look at strength and conditioning, that's going to be somebody who has dedicated their education to exercise physiology, exercise science, you know, really understanding like human anatomy and physiology. And then how do we tie that into sports performance? You know, what does our body need and do while we're trying to compete? And then on top of that, you know, you're going to have an individual who pursues like a certification that's been tried and tested by other professionals to say that, okay, if I was to take the certification and I pass the certification, I know the material and the expertise that is required for me to, let's train athletes, right? So that's where you start. You kind of identify, okay, who's the person leading everything? Versus like, I also am a personal trainer. So my certifications and background also is that, but that is a broad scope, meaning like I can work with many different populations with my background as a personal trainer. And it's usually like, you know, like a one-on-one type of session. It could be an adult, could be a child, could be an elderly person, right? But when you think of a strength conditioning coach or nowadays sports performance, strength and performance, there's a lot of titles. We are going to specialize in that athletic population. So now that we have that person identified, the workouts, you know, how those are different is they're very meticulous and purposeful for like what that person needs. So if we're talking about our kids and our athletes, you know, how do we build athleticism? How do we help them be stronger to withstand their sports demands or withstand whatever, you know, let's just say football, the impact of the sport, right? So how do we build the body up for the particular demands of the sport? And then how do we help them move efficiently in that sport? You know, so a lot of us will have backgrounds for biomechanics and other things, power development, speed, agility. So there's a lot of elements there when it comes to training an athlete that a strength and conditioning coach will have. So that is kind of the difference between like, oh, they're just going to go lift weights and work out is like, well, everything is prescribed so that way that kid's body is able to execute or withstand their season. So that's kind of the fine line between just working out and then the purposeful structure of it.
Absolutely. So working out or getting in shape, it's an overall body workout. You're just trying to get in shape, look better, impress the girls or something, whatever.
Yeah, you have some general goals that we all feel like we want to accomplish, you know, kind of like a lifestyle goal of like, oh, I really just want to feel better when I get out of bed, or I just want to be able to live day to day, but there's no particular element that involves sports with it. Now there's a lot of us, especially in the adults, that we still play sports, right? So if we were like, oh, I want to throw harder, jump higher, then that particular workout is going to help with that effect versus like you said, you know, maybe we just want to lose a few pounds. So
absolutely. So when you talk about strength and conditioning, we're talking about specific training to perform better in a particular sport most times. So Chris, what are the early warning signs then that an athlete might be overtraining? We hear about a lot of people applying themselves to a specific sport and going all out, but that maybe could lead to burnout. How do you deal with people like that are just pushing themselves too hard maybe?
When I was going through school and the 10 years I've had doing this as well, like you see it all the time. You see that word overtraining. It's hard, ideal to grasp. I'm like, well, what does that look like? What is the kid going through or the athlete going through? And so how you can kind of divide it is the time window. So you talked about pushing yourself. So for me as a strength conditioning coach, that's like an acute in the moment time window. Can I push just a little bit harder on that reps and sets that I'm doing, right? So in the moment or in the play, if you will, you know, that's an acute, let's just push a little bit harder to execute or to get a favorable outcome, right? The overtraining is going to be doing that, but doing that from a volume standpoint, you know, so for example, I might have an athlete that will train with us And then they also need to make sure that they're participating with their school weights. And then they want to get the extra, right, at the local YMCA or wherever, right? So they're just trying to compile all this extra work to see if they can get ahead. And then you do that chronically throughout a time window from a few weeks to months, because again, this has to build up over time. You know, those overtraining effects are going to start to kick in. And so that's when you're going to start to see massive fatigue, soreness that lasts way too long, even just a mental state. You know, the kid's just not the same attitude, not the same energy, tired and sore all the time, not explosive, the strength's not there, even though we saw it before. So, you know, chronically from an overtraining standpoint, we start to see those things really take effect and they don't go away. You know, it's not I'm just going to go get a 12-hour night's sleep and I'm cool. It takes a while for that overtraining effect to really like chill out and then get back to kind of a baseline, you know? So again, it's a difference between, okay, I'm just going to push hard for a second and really like challenge myself and I'm successful versus like, okay, now I'm going to undo that third workout and I'm going to do it for 7 days a week and I'm not recovering and my body just can't handle it.
Yeah. So when we overtrain, that's what leads to sports performance injuries, and that's what we don't want. So if a parent or coach is worried about overtraining, how do you diagnose that? How do you deal with that and figure that out, that this person really is overtraining?
With my relationship I have here at the hospital, you know, I'm blessed to have work with athletic trainers, our physical therapist next door, you know, sports med and orthos. Like we have a whole team of people that can really help. And so we try to communicate and, you know, within our scope of practice, right? So within each scope of practice, we're going to have the background and expertise to have those types of questions readily available or know for the signs that we're looking for. So for me, you know, within my position as a strength conditioning coach, I'm going to talk to the kid about, okay, what is your day look like? How are you training? What did we do at school? Have you been doing anything extra? Are you doing tournaments on the weekend? Like I'm trying to figure out like how much volume is this child or this kid going through on their body, you know? And then I'm asking them questions like, well, are you sleeping? How's your nutrition? What are you eating? What are you not eating? What time did you eat? You know, I don't see you sweating. Are you drinking enough water? So I'm going through all these checkboxes of what I know is appropriate for their bodies to function and to recover. And then I'm starting to piece together like what I know is like, okay, man, we've been really hitting a lower body way too much. And that's why like you can barely just jump off the ground. Like your nervous system's just shot, right? So for me to diagnose is essentially one, within my field of practice, understand like, okay, what questions can I ask to get the best answers, you know, the relationship I have with the athlete. And then I'm going to tie out to, you know, my colleagues that I know can have maybe a better lens, right? Or orthopedic surgeons that maybe have worked with the kid before, or the physical therapists, or the athletic trainers that are at the school with the child. Like, hey, what are you seeing? Like, what kind of practices? Was it high tempo? You know, give me an idea, paint me a picture of like, what is their bodies going through? And then we just try to piece it together and give them guidelines on like, okay, maybe we should go this direction to help with your recovery.
Yeah. So asking, what does your day look like? Going through check boxes for what you feel is appropriate, really learning what they're doing day to day. So could you give us an idea then of what a balanced week of training, rest days and cross training might look like for a youth athlete? And then maybe compare that to an adult who's really on a rigorous recreational or as a competitive athlete even.
Very similar, but not in the same lens as far as like a young athlete's body and what we feel they can handle. Because again, I think we always have this bit of a mindset or this myth that, you know, these young athletes are just made out of rubber and they're Energizer bunnies and they can go 24/7. It's just not true. Like they are a young body that is not matured yet, that's not got the same physical qualities as an adult sometimes. And even so, maybe they just don't have the mental fortitude to say like, what is pain? What is soreness? What is my body going through? So a lot of times those are the conversations we have with these kids as far as like, what are you really feeling right now? And can we diagnose like where it came from, you know, successfully? But to answer your question, I may be an unpopular vote on this, but I am huge on recovery because it is a very important part of the spectrum of performance. You know, being in the weight room and doing all the training we do is great, but if they're not sleeping, eating, and hydrating, we're just wasting our time, you know? So to answer your question, a lot of the kids will have summer sports going on, then they'll have school weights, and then maybe they'll do private sessions with us. So, you know, we would like to at least see a nice timeline. If we take our 7 days, right, we want to have at least, you know, depending on the volume, and it depends on the child as well. Some kids are very high training age, meaning like their bodies can handle training 4 or 5 days a week, or maybe 4 days a week, and then they have the weekends to play sports, right? Some of them have built into that, others not so much, right? So we got to know, how long has this kid been training versus like their actual age? Like, oh, that's a 12-year-old, but yet they've been training for 4 years. It's different than, oh, I'm a 12-year-old and this is my first year in the weight room, right? So really it's a matter of like, okay, can we work out and train for a day, maybe 2 days in a row? And then can we have like maybe an active recovery day, like a light practice, something that gets the blood flow? We're still moving, but we're not putting all that neurological and that stress on the body and help it kind of slowly heal. Let them get caught up on sleep or let them get caught up on hydration. Maybe it's a hot summer, right? You know, so we're trying to at least get those couple of days of some good quality work, have a rest or an active recovery day, maybe have a couple more days of again, this, you know, different work. We're mixing up different movement patterns. We're making sure that the stress is appropriate. You know, there's so many variables, Bill, when it comes to like, what's a good day of training for a young athlete? Because it could be where they did a ton of sprinting and jumping. The nervous system's done. All right, well, we need to back off on that and maybe do something a little more low intensity, you know? So again, it kind of just depends on like how much type of intensity have they done. Now, when it comes to the adult or anything like that, we might have as an adult better resources available for us for recovery, right? Or we might have an easier way to train because, you know, we have that membership to go somewhere that has all the equipment. So sometimes it's more just the luxury of being an adult and we have a little bit more control of our time window and how we use our resources, right? You know, we've talked to a lot of kids about sports nutrition, and sometimes they may just not have really excessive resources for a protein shake or something like that. So sometimes it's more like, okay, what can we do for that child in that moment based on the resources they have? Whereas an adult, we have more opportunities to recover better, better quality nutrition, things like that. So I guess more control of our schedule. The adult body can still go through the similar fashion, you know. Again, depending on our abilities, we could still have a couple of days of good hard training. Some of us are fine. We can go 5 days a week, but depending on how we do it, like a roller coaster, may dictate how we recover.
Let's talk about the mental aspect of this a little bit. You just said some great things, Chris. And one of the things you mentioned is the nervous system might become overloaded or burned out if we're working it too hard. But then how do you talk with a young athlete who's exhausted, injured, or maybe, you know, burned out? And when you say, hey, man, you got to cut back because, you know, you got to take care of your body. We need these recovery days. And their answer is, I can't take a day off. I can't disappoint my coach. I got to get on that field. I got to keep working. How do you deal with a player like that?
Yeah, I think it comes down, one, to rapport and trust. You know, so one of the best things as being in this position is really trying to make a connection and a bond with these young athletes. And really that's where it starts. Let them understand that like, I care about you and I understand that there's some things that are really important to you. And so I'm not going to ignore those things and just give you all this lecture, you know, and just ignore how you're feeling. So one, build the trust with the athlete. And then from there, really get into the nitty gritty of like, okay, I understand your goal is super important to you. I understand you don't want to let your team down. I understand you highly respect your coach and you want to make sure you do your best for your coach. I get all that. So I'm trying to like hear them, understand that I hear what they're saying. And then from there, really try to pick apart, like, where can we find the low hanging fruit with these kids? Like understanding that, like, yes, I understand you need to push hard and you want to make varsity and all that stuff. But like, I also need you to understand that like, there is a spectrum where you do need to recover. You will not get to do this pace forever and you will break down. And then that's going to mean you're going to miss game time. So you got to find what's really important to them, whether it's being on the field, representing their school, whatever it may be, and making sure they understand that like the severity of them not resting is meaning like you don't get to do that, period. And try to tie in maybe some athletes that they look up to, some pros, you know, maybe somebody that like an older student who was training that they know, and they're like, look, listen to this older student that you respect. They're going to tell you the same thing. So I'm just trying to find angles for them to really like, okay, you know, Coach Chris, all right, he's trying to get me just to pump the brakes a little bit so that way I can go 100% for game night. So that way I'm like, look, this is just temporary. You know, let your body heal. You're going to be okay. You're not failing anybody. But if you can go down this course, something's going to happen. Like, it's just bound to happen. Some kids are lucky with that. It doesn't. I'm not going to say that, but we just can't prevent every injury. And so we want to make sure they're smart about it.
Yeah, some really good stuff there. Build trust. Make sure you listen to them. Find a, you call it a low-hanging fruit, maybe where we can find some easy common ground and some examples of other athletes right. who really paid attention to recovery where they could come back and be their best. Well, Chris, it sounds great. And I know that young athletes are lucky to have somebody like you on their performance team,
you.
If you will, their strength and conditioning team. Who else should be on an athlete's performance and safety team for strength and conditioning, especially for kids? And how can families coordinate between, you know, primary care doctors? There's also sports medicine. You've got coaches as well. You've got parents, et cetera. Who should be on that young athlete's team? And how do you work all of that?
It takes multiple help, you know, to raise that village, if you will, because we're really fortunate with the size of Columbus and the hospital that we have here and the team. The collaborative team that we have with my strength coaches and our team and sports medicine and the hospital and athletic trainers. I mean, the list goes on and on. So like it takes, to answer your question, I myself am a parent, you know, I've got two young girls. So I understand that like life is very busy. And so as me as a professional, like I think it's our due diligence to be leading that charge to help the parent tie those conversations together, right? So for example, if I'm working with a child that I know is coming back from an injury, I'm going to find out, okay, who's the doctor they're working with? You know, get the permission from the parent and say, hey, are you okay? Or can we connect dots with that individual and find out, okay, what are we dealing with here? Okay, cool. You want to still train? All right, let's go ahead and figure out a game plan. What are those restrictions, right? So we're trying to work with our other providers to say, okay, what can we do? What can we not do, right? And then we got to find those other contact points in the community. So if we go to our schools with our athletic trainers, you know, okay, I'm not going to see the kid, but maybe an hour a day, but I know you'll get to see him for practice for 3 hours a day. Here's my notes that we did today that were successful. You know, they're having a hard time with this today. And I'm going to pass those notes on to the next individual, you know, those athletic trainers at the school. We can't forget our sport coaches as well. Very important role models to help them because they're going to be leading the charge when it comes to game days, practices, any sort of contact points with that child and that parent, more so than me, which is more of the hospital private sector. So again, your team is going to be a consistent of, you know, if we're going to include the strength conditioning coaches, any primary providers, whether it's pediatrician or other, if we have an injury involved, is it, you know, orthopedics, is it physical therapy? And then if the school has the resources, the athletic trainers are involved. So again, those are just your medical side on top of the parents and then the sport coaches as well to say, okay, you know, what are we dealing with here? And then how can we help this child be successful to get them ready for their game or their sport?
Yeah, a great team can really help that young athlete take care of their body and perform at their best. And it's great that Columbus Community Hospital offers that and is there to help nurture and train these kids to the best of their ability. So, Chris, last question. When a parent comes up to you and they're talking about strength and conditioning or overtraining and performance and nutrition, what is your general message to parents when you're talking to them about strength and conditioning?
I think one is to help clear any murky water about what the position is, right? Because again, that's something that a lot of different careers and different positions have to kind of help understand with the public is like, okay, what is my role? What do I do? Kind of like at the beginning of our conversation that we had, you know, explaining like, okay, what is a sports performance coach and what is our expertise? So again, for the parents is to truly understand like, this is what the child's going to get and help them also understand that like, it is a little bit harder in the sense of like, you know, when I was playing sports, I played baseball, right? So I love going to scrimmage. I love swinging the bat. I love taking ground balls. I played center field. I love going for dives, right? So those sports skills that we love to do because we want to be on ESPN highlights. With strength and conditioning, it's getting you your body ready to do those highlights. So a lot of times with kids, it's not pretty. It's not glamorous. Yes, we'll do some cool things. Yes, it's fun to get stronger. So for the parents, it's to help them really understand like, this is what we do. This is what we're doing. And then from there, if they need help understanding, like, where do I find that type of person, help them lead them down a pathway of like, well, here's some resources. Here's how you know if you've got an actual strength coach that you're working for or working with. So that way you just have the right expertise doing the right thing for your child. So that'd be my first thing is to just help kind of demyth like what it is that strength conditioning is and then help differentiate it. From there, if we want to talk about nutrition, we probably need another 3 hours, Bill, to talk to talk about nutrition. But simply put, we need to keep it balanced. We need to keep it readily available and make it simple. We always give a lot of resources out to our kids, printouts and ideas of like, hey, try this or hey, eat that, or if that doesn't work with your stomach. So again, we're just constantly reiterating proper nutrition with the parents, the kids, finding what works for their home. Not every home's the same. So like, what within that home is going to help be successful for that kid? Or what other resources at the rec center or the school have that we can get that kid the proper nutrition so they can perform? And then the rest, honestly, like, we got to have accountability. Like, this is on the athlete to make sure that they're taking care of themselves, regardless of the situation. Like, you know, they still are going to feed themselves. You still got to make good decisions on like what goes in your body. We'll help them along the way. And then we just got to say it over and over and over again. And I think, Bill, you had one more part to that, right? What was the third part to that?
Yeah, I was just wondering about, we talked about performance, nutrition, and then also on overtraining as well.
That one's a tricky one because, again, we're dealing with young athletes and we all know there can be a bit of a story, a bit of a fishtail when it comes to, you know, how sore they feel or how tired they are. But really watching for those chronic signs of like, my child just really has not bounced back. They're sore all the time. They're not recovering. They're tired. They're, you know, like just really not themselves. And looking at that chronically from like, you know, months on end, and then making sure that like, okay, maybe we do need to back off. Like, how can we back off and where and be strategic with it? You know, sometimes it's just completely shutting down. Go for a walk. We're not doing anything today. And then talking with the coaches, talking with the strength and conditioning staff as well, and seeing like, how can we still keep them engaged, but then back off so they can recover. So again, for the parents, it's just making sure that they do pay attention to those signs. It's hard because, again, we want our children to be successful, but at the same time, we do need to listen and say, okay, this is not getting better. They're starting to now get new aches and pains that we've never had before. Why is that? Well, we need to look into like how much are they actually doing across all entities.
And again, it's great that Columbus Community Hospital has people like you, Chris, to be there for young athletes and really help them to become the best they possibly can be in no matter what sport they're going for. Chris, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bill. Yeah, I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. And once again, that is Chris Holt. For more information, please visit columbushosp.org. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. This is Columbus Community Healthcasts. Thanks for listening.